good to see the winter scenery, although I could live without it, but it's pretty, isn't it? It's just a little bit chilly is all. And we'd like to say this morning, if you all have your bulletins with you, if you open it up and look on the left side, take your eyes to the bottom of the page, you'll see two things, prayer needs and the theme for the year. Last year we had a theme for the year of dispelling fear, and it was an excellent choice having to do with the situation going on in our world and in our society around us. And there was fear galore all around us. So that was a good theme to focus on for 2021. Well, things are changing, but not a lot when it comes to the nature of how things are going this year. So we have a new year to look forward to. And when the elders met, we were talking about a new theme for 2022. And the topic that came up to us seemed the most appropriate, and what we're going to go with is that what you see printed next to the 2022 theme there. Now we're moving from what we had last year of dispelling fear to giving hope. It seems like some folks just seem to think that things are so bad they're never going to get better again, and we don't expect or have much in our minds as far as to going in the direction of the positive and good expectations. So we're going to go with that, but we want to get you involved in this. We do have the theme of giving hope, but we want you to help us pick one passage, one scripture passage that really focuses in on that. Give us your opinion. Do a little work on it. Study and look for something from God's word that speaks to giving hope, and then write it on a little piece of paper and give it to Jim or Barry or myself. And what you see written there is just my input that's temporary until we get from you the one that we really want to use. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So the verse that I put in there is from 1 Peter. God has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's where it only temporarily stands until you give us your desires to for a scripture passage instead of that one, okay? Now, I chose that to bring that up because thinking along those lines of hope, we look around us and we see the way things are going for our country and even the way things are going in a general sense for believers these days. For Christians and for their progress in growing in the Lord. And some have a disparaged opinion. Others have an expectation that that depends on how we serve the Lord and what the Lord does working in a whole country of people. Hope is... We've dealt with fear. Now we want to deal with hope. And so all I wanted to do is give a few minutes of encouraging word around hope and to start out a year. If our year's focus is going to be on giving hope, let's talk about hope a little bit right here at the beginning of the year. Hope is a... pretty much a natural part of everyday living. It's part of everybody's life. You'd be surprised how much hope you really depend on. I remember when I think of hope, I always remember back to my days in the workforce. How many Kodak folks are here who retired? Be quite a few. Retired, there was at least three or four of us. There was one thing, if you worked at Kodak years ago, you always look forward to bonus day. Remember bonus day? I think people's lives were almost adversely affected sometimes by the bonus day. Some of us couldn't even own a car if it hadn't been for that bonus day. Because you, all year long, you planned on that's coming, and that's been promised to us, and so when that comes, I'll have this much money, and I can, the biggest need in my life right now financially is such and such. So we think about how we're going to spend that all year long, how we're going to use it. Our expectations, our hopes fit into our lives in sundry ways, so many different ways. And every year this one was there. Y'all have had personal hopes in your life all the time. We're built to have hope as being part of our existence. It comes natural to us. I remember, too, personally, I always look forward every year when summer rolled around, we're not only out of school. That was a, I don't know if that was a hope, but we sure looked forward to it. And we knew, I knew that when summer came around, it wouldn't be long before we'd go on vacation. And we had a vacation and we went to every year the same place. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I never thought what would happen if one year Dad couldn't have done it. I thought about that. Wondered if life would go on. It's like Christmas. What would happen if the expectation of Christmas was just canceled one year? What you think that would affect society? You think that would have affect you? What we hope for is commonplace. It's part of our life, as I said. And much of life is kind of mundane. You do the same thing every day. You get up the same time. You go to work and you work. You whatever you do, and you come home and you eat. And you days are kind of scheduled to be common to us. And that would be kind of depressing if it wasn't for the fact that sprinkled in and among all these mundane days, every once in a while there's something we put in there that adds some excitement to our life. And some hope is usually how we voice it. But hope is that one aspect in our life that looks, has a future as part of its meaning. Hope isn't, you don't look back for hope. You don't look to describe hope in the present. Hope has built right within it a future element. That it's something that is further down the line in time, and it's a look forward element to my daily experience. That's the thing that we talk about, think about, that adds a little sparkle to our life where there wouldn't otherwise be any that day. Hope is important. Hope is, it adds encouragement, adds a little excitement. It's the catalyst that makes the whole pattern of life come with some enjoyment to it, come with some expectation. And so it fills that gap in our daily experience. But gotta say, there's at least two different kinds of hope. And that's what, you'll give me a few minutes, that's what I would like to just talk about this morning, are these two kinds of hope. And realize that they both exist, and that we can see them illustrated in our life by how we use them. And but before we start there, let's have just a short word of prayer, and then we'll pick it up. Father, we are grateful that you do build into our lives the capacity to hope. That you do give that, if you will, that interruption of enjoyment as we look forward to something. And as we plan and order our lives accordingly and be encouraged day by day by the just the concept that there's an enjoyment we're going to have somewhere down the range of time, and we know that it's something that is really worth waiting for. So use your word as we speak about it this morning and as we think about it, and use it in our lives in such a way that it will give us an encouragement, and encouragement that's true, and encouragement that'll help us serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. The first kind of hope I just want to mention for a few minutes is the temporal kind of hope. There's another kind of hope, too, that is not temporal, but is biblical. It's a Christian hope that's different from the temporal hope. But the temporal hope itself, what sets the two apart from one from another is that is what the source of the hope is. There's different kind of resources for hope. A temporal resource sounds a little bit like this, and we use it a lot. It's a hope to hope. Like when we express, well, I hope in this snow that I get home safely this afternoon. That's not a guaranteed hope. That's a hope that you might experience, you might not. We would say things like, well, I am going to grow spiritually. I hope to grow spiritually this year. Well, that's not guaranteed. You might not. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I hope to read through the whole Bible this year and get it done, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Well, that's a hope that might come true, might not. I hope that to stay healthy. I hope to stay healthy and live a long life. Well, that's a nice hope. It might happen and it might not. Keep thinking as I'm speaking here. Think about where these come from. As I mentioned, the source. Where's the source for this kind of hope? I hope that we don't go to war this year. I hope we remain in peace and so on. Well, that might happen and it might not. I hope to be financially prosperous this year. That's a lot of people's hope, to be prosperous this year. Not guaranteed. You might not. The point I'm making here is from my own heart, from my own experience, and from all that's for sure, doesn't fall under any of those. All of those you could relabel wishful thinking. Not if you want to use hope that way. Sometimes we use the word hope, as I just demonstrated. Sometimes we use it to just express something that's not guaranteed. It's just wishful thinking. It's good wishful thinking. But its source is me. Its source is society. Its source is what's going on in the world today, the source of what's going on in your life today and tomorrow and all this, these weeks and months of this coming year. I love, 2 days ago, if you read the Our Daily Bread, one of the writers in there mentioned this in comparison to wisdom. And I wrote down this sentence because I thought, oh, she's saying the same thing. This person said, our challenge, therefore, he was talking about wisdom and hoping. Our challenge, therefore, is to hold tight to wisdom, not shiny wishes. What I was called wishful thinking, they were using the term shiny wishes. Well, every hope having a temporal source is never secure. They're all optional. They're all maybes. And they often disappoint us. What we hope, did everything you hoped for a year ago come true? Did all you hoped a year ago happen? Do those hopes come into reality and come into a life experience? A lot of them didn't. Because those are temporal sourced hopes. They come from this time, this space, and all that is going on in the world and in our personal lives. The world and false religions really abound in this kind of hope, this temporal hope. And God hasn't promised us everything. The hopes that come from our life and in this world and time and space are things that are not guaranteed. They're just wishful things. And God hasn't promised us everything that we hope for in that way. A good example would be if we were to open our Bibles to Luke 16, we'd run across the story or the experience there of the beggar, remember in Luke 16, who sat by the rich man's gate every day, hoping for a little leftovers from his table, little crumbs, that's all he wanted. And the rich man was living in luxury and all that. And you know, that beggar sat there his whole life long and died in that situation. I wonder about that, because there's needs that we all have in our life that we take to the Lord. Do we take it in temporal hope? Do we just wish that God would fix it? Do we just wish and hope that that it'll be taken care of and provided for or taken away? Lazarus didn't have that experience. I wonder, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder if Lazarus ever prayed and asked God to heal him. I wonder. Because if he did, God's answer was not yet. Not now. No. Our hopes are only guaranteed when God says they're guaranteed. Does God guarantee that if you hope to be healed, you will be? Well, if he says it is, then it is. God is the one who fixes the answer to genuine hope, but he hasn't promised everything that we wish for, whether it's health or wealth, absence of troubles, going through stress, going through dangers. One example of that would be found in Isaiah 43. If you would like to turn there with me in your Bible to Isaiah 43. And I'm just going to share a couple verses there. First two verses, in fact. Because here, Isaiah's hearing this from the Lord. See, verse 1 and 2. But, and if you want to see the context of this, read the chapter ahead of it, but we're going to start right with this one because it's pretty self-explanatory. Now, but now, thus says the Lord. Here's something God is going to say. And this God is the God who is true and living, the creator of everything. And he says that, now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We wouldn't be overstepping to say that what God is saying to Israel here is, you're special to me. You're unique to me. You're mine. You've been called aside as special people for me. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So we can't argue with the point that this is a special person to God. These are special people to God. And look what he has to say to them about hope and fear in the next verse. Notice, we'll just read and then go back. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. That verse 2, is he in this verse 2 promising that you will never pass through waters? That you will never go through rivers? That you will never be exposed to troubles and flames and tough times that we would say where you're getting burned. Is anywhere God saying they'll not do that? They'll not see those things? He says, in fact, you will see those things. If Israel was probably wishing for having none of those things, having no troubles and such. But here, God says, you're going to have them. And what he says here also is that when you pass through these waters, rivers, and fire. Waters is large amounts, like Ontario. Rivers is like, and it sits there. It moves, but very slowly and gradually. That's why you can go swimming in it and not be, end up, you know, up out in the Atlantic, because it doesn't move that fast. But then there's waters that are rushing, like the Niagara River. You go out in the Niagara River, and you'll be traveling real fast, and you'll go wherever it wants to take you. So you can drown in Ontario Lake, but you can be destroyed and swept away and dashed against the rocks in a fast-moving water in a river. So there's dangers of drowning, dangers of slowly just losing your life. There's dangers of being killed instantly, quickly, like in a river. And then there's dangers of being in a spot where you will be consumed, like caught in a house fire or something, or a car wreck or something. So you see danger of different kinds. God says you will be exposed to dangers, but when you are exposed to dangers, you won't be like other people. You're special to me. When you go through each of those kind of dangers, I'm going to be there with you. That makes a difference. God makes a difference. And what's he promising? Not that they won't experience him, but they won't experience him without him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You won't experience those dangers without the Lord's being there with you. So there again, God doesn't promise, guarantee things that that are just wishful thinking, things that we would want. But he does tell us what we need. And that's what he did here with Israel at this point. So, enough said about the temporal type of hoping. There's another type of hoping that we'll finish with, and that's hope that's biblical type hope. It's hope looking down the quarters of time, still in the future, and we are told biblically that that's going to be a reality. And there's also, we could call that Christian hope. It's the things that God's word tells you is going to happen. It is what God promises. Like in that case here we were just talking about there, what was promised in Israel? That he would always be with them in all kinds of troubles, of all kinds. See, you could pray just from a temporal aspect, a temporal source, that how you'd want those kind of things to go. Of course, we'd want our hope there would be to not get them. I don't want those kind of dangers. God gives us something that's guaranteed. And guaranteed in this case was his presence. And the outcome would be his choice. That's a real hope. That's a biblical hope. That's a Christian hope. And so God in a Christian hope is different than, it's not a wannabe, it's not wishful thinking, it's what that other person called shiny wishes. The kind of hope that we have, if we have godly type hope are those things that God, right in his word, he has written them down, and he's written them down usually as a promise. These are things you can count on. These are things you pray for. And these are the things that you hope for, knowing what the outcome is going to be, because God has said so. It's a guaranteed hope. So what we're looking for this year is to know God's guaranteed hopes and where do they fit into our year of life if God gives us another year of life here. He has even written them down in his word as promises. These are the promises that are being written down by our God, the true and living one, the God who is almighty, the God who is always there as he's everywhere at the same time, the God who is all-powerful. And that's the God who writes what to hope for, what his promises are. He's the one who is saying these things. Therefore, we can be very confident in it. We don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. We're not hoping for something that might be. We're hoping for something that is. It's just not wishful thinking. It's a guaranteed hope. And we pray and we hope for those things as we grow in our relationship with him, personally or otherwise. So the source here then is not my desires, it's God's desires. And if my hopes fall into that, then the outcome depends on the character and the nature of the one who promised. Depends on God. What a difference. These other things that I wish for didn't depend on God. They didn't depend on anything much outside of wishful thinking. These kind of hopes are hopes that are guaranteed. So you're not wishful thinking, you're expecting it because it is a reality. There's a difference in hoping for something that might be opposed to something that's guaranteed to be. So what's the challenge before us? Look for what God has promised. Look what you ought to be expecting, both in time and in eternity. What do you expect from God? So we're whatever they are, I have hopes that are anchored in his promises. For a Christian, hope means a confident expectation. Christian hope is confident expectation, not wishful thinking. A lot of times we take the word hope to mean wishful thinking only. Hey, there's a better hope. There's a hope that's guaranteed. There's a hope that I can pray for that is absolutely confident, and it's something that will be, even though it's going to be answered in the future. It broadens the word hope. It broadens it into an expectation that is confident, and its refuge is in the personal character of God himself. And it includes dependence and trust. Two examples and we'll be done. One example comes to us from Corinthians chapter 1. So if you'll turn there. Did I say Corinthians? Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All you got to do is get there. Very first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. It's very interesting here because Paul is speaking here to those in Colossae, and he's telling them that he was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. And he said that stewardship was bestowed on him for their benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Now in so we see Paul knows he was sent for a purpose, and that purpose is found in God's desire for him. So verse 26 says, so that the mystery which has been hidden from the ages past and generations has now been manifested to believers, to Christians, to saints. Verse 27 is where we want to end up, because you take that into consideration and then add this to it. He says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of what? The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that? This is the verse Jim read this morning, which is Christ in you. They'd never heard about that before. Christ in you, and what is Christ in you? He says it's the hope of glory. It's not the wannabe of glory. It's not the wishful thinking of future glory. He says it's Christ in you, the hope, the very confident expectation of hope in glory. What is he saying? He says that Christ in you, his dwelling in you, is a new thing, and it's a thing that God has promised, and we are to see it as a confident expectation, a hope. Today, when it comes to the Gentiles who never had this kind of a message before, a Gentile can say, God has guaranteed me hope, an expectation of glory. And where does it come from? And where do I get it? By having Christ in me. They're telling the Gentiles, he's telling the Gentiles here that hope is a guaranteed one. And it's guaranteed because it's based and comes from, it is coming to us from the God of creation. And that is that the Gentiles too, if they have Christ in them, they have the hope of glory. Glory is when? Right now? We're not in glory right now. But there's coming a day when even Gentiles, if they have Christ in them, guaranteed the hope of glory. So we can pray now and thank God for the expectation, for the hope of glory. Why can we pray for the hope of glory? God already guaranteed it. It's going to happen. It's not a I hope so issue. It's a real promise, a real expectation that we can revel in. That's the spark that can be in our life that makes our life this day worthy of consideration and its eternal value. Indwelling of Jesus, and a second one, if you'll turn over to 1 Peter, first chapter there too. In 1 Peter, the very first chapter, here's another hope that we can bank on. And it's in verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should praise God we should honor him and just revel in who he is. That's blessed be the God and Father of our, blessed be the Heavenly Father. Praise him. Why? Well, he says, who according to his great mercy, this is the Father's great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living, what is it? Hope. A living hope. Not a dead hope, a living hope. And how's that guaranteed that that I'm going to have a living hope that's eternal? Is that guaranteed? Or is that a wishful thinking? No, it's not a wishful thinking, because he guarantees it here, he says, that we're born again to a living hope through, here's the answer, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His resurrection is the basis, the boundary, the source of this promise. God's promise that we will be resurrected, we have an eternal life, is promised by the resurrection. We can pray and be thankful, even though it's, I haven't resurrected yet, you haven't resurrected yet, but we can thank God that he has promised a resurrection, and it's down in the future, it's not today. It's down in the future, and we can thank God for that, because it's not wishful thinking, it's a guarantee. I have a hope, and my hope is a confident expectation that when I'm done here, God's taken me home and I'm resurrected. I'm not, you know, the unbeliever, he thinks when he dies, it's all, that's, you know, he's like a dog, he's just going to disappear. No, we're eternal beings. And God here has given us an expectation that when this life is over, the next glorified one will continue at resurrection and last eternally. Wow, wow, wow. It's secure. It can't fail. It's not temporal. It's eternal. So the basis is on the for godly biblical hope is that it's based on the promises of Scripture, on God. So then, don't you think we ought to talk to him about those things? Don't you think we, if he's written those promises down, those guarantees down of hope, guaranteed hope, if you want to understand what God has given you and me there, don't you think it would be wise for us to take a trip through God's Word with a specific vision in mind? Lord, show me your guarantees. Show me your promises. I want to be thankful for them. I want to firmly expect them because I know they're true. I know they come from you, and I know I can really look forward to these things. And I want that to be the basis of my interface with you, my friendship with you, our intimate relationship is on your guarantees. My hope from God's Word. Just show me a person that doesn't have that, and I'll show you a person who carries around a lot of cares. They worry about everything. They got so many cares, it just drives them nuts. You'll find people whose eyes, their vision, doesn't look forward at all. Most of their eyes look backward. They're looking at what has already taken place and what's already discouraged them, what's already not been answered, and they look inwardly instead of outwardly. You know, a person who does not have God's type of hope has a life very lightly touched, if you will, with peace and sparkle. As all those great promises and things that will come to pass aren't in their thoughts. So just by not knowing these things, your life of dull domain in the real world can overpower you if you don't realize that this is temporary and very short-lived, and some of his promises include an eternity that will never end. This is short-lived. What we're going through here is short-lived. He's going through the waters with us. He's going through the fast-flowing dangers with us. He's going through the things that would destroy us with us. And he's, if you don't have those kind of stars, those kind of illuminations in your heart and in your mind, you don't look forward to them. You only see the dull day and the happenings of what's going on in our life from a human point of view. You know, Scripture only uses one word for the word hope. Doesn't mean anything to you, but it's elpis. That's the only word that is in Scripture for it, and that hope is not a wishful thinking hope. It's a confident expectation hope. And I have a couple other scriptures just to read, and then we'll be done. And that's from Hebrews. You should be close to that right now anyway, to Hebrews chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verses 22 to 24. This is what I have marked in my Bible as the vegetarian section of the Bible. This is the lettuce passage. Three times you'll see lettuce mentioned here, 22 to 24. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Second, let us helping. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. There's our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our secure and confident expectations. Let us hold fast to those without wavering. For he, listen to this phrase, he who promised is faithful. See, it goes back to the source. Why are you so confident? Why do you really expect these blessings? Well, because of the one who gave them to me, the one who promised them. So he says, for he who promised is faithful. In verse 24, so let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So consider one another. So our hope here is what we fall back on, God's promises, and they amount to drawing close to him, considering our brethren, a person who is only looking at their own life and not considering the one next to them, your fellow brethren's, missing this promise and missing the benefits of it as well. It's, in fact, in your, you see, in your King James, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. That word there, faith, is the word elpis. It should have been translated hope. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope. What is my hope? What is my expectation? Hold fast to it. He's not telling us to hold fast to my doctrinal stand. He's telling me to hold fast to my expectation. Well, that's different. He goes on to say, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Okay, one more, and then we'll be finished in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. I like chapter 1s. Like today, everything was in chapter 1 of whatever. But we're in Ephesians chapter 1, and here Paul's speaking to God's purpose for believers. What's God's purpose for us? And he's telling this to the Ephesians. Verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. I'm breaking into the middle of a sentence, but you can read the context to it afterwards. He says, Paul says to the Ephesians, to the end that we, that is we, and he's speaking of we believers, and those present in his day, that we who were the first to hope, help us, the one who was first, We are the group who is first to expect confidently in Christ should be to the peace, to the praise of his glory. So Paul speaks to them that we should be to the praise of his glory. Those of us who were first trusted in Christ. And that word trusted, again, is elpis. Should have been translated hope. We should be to the praise of his glory who first hoped in Christ. We're done. So let's put our Christian hope under some scrutiny and do some work in God's promises, because they're the basis for real hope. That's the kind of hope we're talking about in our purpose for this week, is to have a living hope, to give hope. Not wishful thoughts, but guaranteed thoughts. Confident, expecting thoughts. And that will make us rich in the year 2022. In closing, the thought I wanted to share was that we surely are indeed living in a dark world. I believe we're in the end times. It is a dark world. However, darkness is not all that's here. Light is also here. There is light here also. Jesus said when he was here, in John 8 and in John 9 also, both those chapters have the fact that Jesus claimed that when he was here, he was the light of the world. Says, I am the light of the world. And he was in a dark world too. Just read history. But also today, you know, light is also here in the person of every believer, because Christ has taken up residence within us. The Father's within us. The Holy Spirit's within us. The Son's within us. If you have not Christ, you don't have life. So, and we're in the world, this dark place. Why do you think God would put us in a dark place? That's the perfect place for light. Because the darker it is, the brighter our light will shine. And we're here to shine. How you doing? Are you shining? Are people seeing the Lord in your life? That's the good question that we should ask ourselves this morning as we leave. So we're going to end with that thought. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for hope that's real. Hope that's guaranteed expectations. Hope that makes the difference in what we see in the world, what we see in our own lives, what we see in the lives of others. And it's our desire, Lord, to be used of thee to lessen the darkness, to shine your light in a world that you have placed us. And in this coming year, Father, work in us. May our light shine brightly because we expect your word to be true. We expect your promises to be genuine. We expect a future that is under your control and one that will make this life beautiful, no matter what the process is that we're experiencing day by day. We commit our lives to you. We praise, thank you for all that you have for us, and look for help to be what you want us to be this week. In Jesus' name, amen.